crave French fries or chocolate.
저희들은요,
She says, everyone has cravings. When I have them, I focus my mind by making noodles. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Seoul.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check now what's been happening in Chicago on this 23rd day of July. From the CME Group, September contract in the corn pit is up 0.75 cents. December at 4.13 3/4, unchanged now. The March contract up 0.25 and December of next year at 4.18 is up a penny. Soybeans in the August contract down about 6 cents. November down 10 3/4. January down a dime. And the July down 6.5. November of next year down 7 cents. Bean meal is off $4 at $3.59.50. Bean oil is at $31.34. That's a penny lower for the day. The soft red winter wheat in the September contract up 4.5 cents, $5.21 1/4 the trade. The hard red at $5.15 1/2 in the lead option September. It's up 3 1/4. Live cattle futures from the CME Group are down 30 cents at $144.20, and the feeder cattle at $211.42 1/2 are 95 cents lower. August lean hogs are 37 1/2 cents lower. They're trading at $78.15. Dan Zwicker, of course, is traveling today. He's in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Hopefully a few of you either are on your way or will be there this afternoon for one of his events. We will talk to him, by the way, this afternoon during the closing market report, but he's speaking, I think, at this point, and Matt Bennett has joined us in his stead. He, of course, is with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor. Good morning to you, Matt. Thanks much for being with us.
Good, thanks, Tom.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you've been hearing from the Channel Seed agronomist across the Midwest about the condition of the corn crop from the Western Corn Belt all the way into Ohio. What do you see?
Well, you know, it's going to be quite interesting because we're hearing about guys that, you know, on irrigated ground, especially in Nebraska, that are looking at maybe the best crop they've had. Some of the dryland guys are starting to talk about needing a little bit of a rain, you know, and then in Western Iowa, they're talking about needing a little bit of rain here before too long. The conditions are pretty good west of Mississippi. I mean, obviously, Missouri's got issues. I would say Missouri is kind of clumped into that category with Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio to where we're all going to be significantly lower than what we were at last year. So there's such a wide variety. I've been through a good chunk of Indiana, and while I've made the trip, you know, from Champaign to Danville, which looks fairly rough this year, probably the worst I've seen it before, you know, once you get into Indiana, there's parts of Indiana that look pretty rough too. And I would say as a state, you know, relatively speaking, they're probably fairly close, but I think Indiana's state yield's going to be probably a little lower than maybe what some are expecting at this point.
Indiana looks tough. If it looks as bad as the area from Champaign to Danville and on up through the Kankakee, that's ugly, really, really ugly, in fact. But the question always comes down to which side of the Mississippi River will be the dominant side. And I sent out a little note on my Twitter feed, and I think you retweeted it earlier in the week, that the deviation from the normal average yield for corn and for soybeans is much greater in a bad area than it is good in a good area. So I suspect we'll have a pretty good battle on our hands between the eastern and the western corn belt as we head towards the fall and the eventual harvest of this crop.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I think, just to reiterate kind of what you're saying, I think, you know, when you make that drive, as you were talking about, east and then north of Champaign. I mean, you know, a lot of that is awfully good ground. And some of the yields we had last year, some of these counties are probably, you know, they might even be lucky to be half what they were last year. So there's a significant area that's been impacted. And when you have so many zeros out in the middle of the field, obviously it makes it pretty tough on the rest of the corn, not to mention the fact we have to remember when they're inundated with that much rain, the corn that did make it probably lost a good chunk of the nitrogen. So nitrogen loss is going to definitely be a huge impact on this crop, especially east of Mississippi. And I think that, you know, when I look at last year, I went on the crop tour with Phil Farmer, and, you know, everyone had good corn. No, everybody didn't have great corn. We had the best corn we've ever had in Illinois, a lot of us. Maybe not everyone, but most of us did. But everyone else had pretty good corn last year. So this year you're looking at a situation where, you know, there's maybe more areas that have got as good or better than what they've ever had, but then there's areas that are significantly worse than anything we even thought about last year. So I can't imagine our national yield being able to be anywhere close to the mid-160s. And well, currently I'm probably pushing right around the 160 to be my over-under, and I'm not so sure we'll make it to 160.
When do you think that the market will come to the realization of what the corn crop looks like?
That's a great question. It's definitely, it was in the market. When we took these corn up to 450 and above, it was definitely in the market. Guys knew what was going on, but I think as everyone digested the fact, hey, we know this is the situation, people start to ask themselves, well, can the good outweigh the bad, and how good is the good? And, you know, it's definitely a worthy discussion, but I think that whenever we get into harvest time, we're going to know more. I think the August yield is going to be maybe a little lower than what some people are thinking, but I don't know that they'll be able to even come close to what we're going to end up with. I think it's going to take at least until harvest is over, and we probably won't know from the USDA a good final yield, in my opinion, until you know, until a year from this fall. I think we'll finally get a handle on what the actual yield is going to be, because it's going to be hard to gauge.
Yeah, so we'll probably get a good idea in October, maybe a much better idea in January. But you think it'd be a year out, but before we really have a good idea, and that'll just be based on what's left in the bin and how tight supplies actually look.
Right, and I think, you know, a lot of us here lately, the last few trading sessions have been kind of frustrating. A lot of the farms I talk to, they're a little aggravated, especially guys in areas like we discussed. But I try to remind them, hey, we found out with the quarterly stocks report the demand's very strong, and we're still in a situation, especially with corn, that the demand's not just falling out of bed. And so moving forward, I think we have to understand that when you start plugging in even low 160s into the balance sheet, you can definitely make a case for just barely being over a billion bushel carryout. And that's at the harvested acres we're working with currently. And so I do think those harvested acres are going to come down, which will further tighten the balance sheet. So I think in the long run, you know, I don't want to get in any enormous hurry just simply because we've thrown a lot of cold water on this market here recently, and I'm not so sure that we might be running out of things to drive it lower.
The condition of the soybean crop, it is, of course, an August crop.
Yeah, I mean, the condition of soybean crop, obviously there's a lot of guys talking about some disease, happened to spray some fungicide on beans. I think that whenever you have that much cool, wet weather for that long, it's a problem. But, you know, as you know, these last couple weeks have been really what the soybean crop needed. The beans that were still healthy, I think it was very good for them. I think from an agronomic standpoint, you know, if you have beans that survive into August and then we get a whole bunch of rain, it's a pretty good situation where we can actually probably relative to corn count on maybe a little bit more, you know, recuperation, if you will, of what we think the yield might make. You know, in 2012, on August 1st, I probably would have told you that my beans weren't going to make 20 bushel, but yet we ended up averaging right at 50 bushel beans. And the reason for that is because we had so much rain at the right time. And so I think it'd be really interesting. I mean, I heard of guys last week in Missouri still planting beans. there's still been a few beans that have gone in. The final acreage number on beans probably be a little bit higher than what we thought it was going to be maybe a month ago. But again, a lot of those late beans, they may struggle to make it before the frost too. So I think there'll be ample acreage of beans, but as far as the national yield goes, I think that's basically going to be completely determined in the month of August.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you during the cash grain segment this afternoon.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He's with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on this July 23rd, Thursday edition of the Mid-Morning Market Report here on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9. HD3 Urbana coming up on the top of the hour. We'll have sunny skies on the way to a high of 82 degrees today. Tonight, clear and 63. And then tomorrow, sunny again and a high of 86. On Friday night, clear with a low of 67. I'm Todd Gleason.